are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
Welcome to episode 6 of the God Geeks podcast. I'm Bill Brimer.
This James is Cleland.
My man James Cleland here. Two God Geeks. Theology is reality here. We'll talk about film. We'll talk about television. We'll talk about art. We'll talk about music. And all from the perspective of some guys who, not because we're good, but because God is good, He's transformed our hearts and is transforming our hearts. He's transformed our minds. He is transforming our minds. We're a couple of boneheads. We don't have anything figured out, but we love wrestling with beautiful things that God's doing like I said, art and all kinds of things in our culture now. Our last episode, we began giving you our top 5 television shows from 2015. And we'll pick up where we left off, and what we ended up doing was talking about our honorable mentions, the TV shows that we loved but that didn't make our top 5. And we got started on The Jinx.
Yeah.
And it's a documentary series on HBO, and I'm just going to throw it to you, James.
Yeah.
You roll with it.
So I was kind of thinking during our last list, I've been having some conversations. I teach English at a Christian school. And, so I was at a convention a few years ago, and the people were selling curriculum for Christian schools and homeschooling and that kind of thing. And I don't remember the name of the company, nor would I want to mention it right now, but I was looking at all their books, and I'm like, wow, they got a lot of classics here. They're beautifully bound, and this is whole curriculum. They're like, yeah. And I go, well, what makes you all special? What's different about your curriculum? And they're like, we take all of the classics and take out all the stuff that isn't Christian. And I was like, what? So I'm looking at our list of shows, and so my big question is, and that kind of got me thinking about that convention, where do we draw the line? How do we wrestle with this idea of, even in a show we really like, you know, there might be things in it that obviously are influenced by the sinful world we live in. How do we handle that? That's my question. Because I don't want to go the route of, well, let's just take out everything that's sinful in everything.
Yeah, I think it would be very difficult to read the Old Testament at all if you were going to take out all the things, you know.
Yeah,
that's a good
argument.
You have incest and drunkenness and rape and murder and
human beings being
infanticide.
Human beings. Yeah.
And I mean, these things didn't stop happening in the Old Testament. They were happening in the New Testament. We don't hear a lot of that chronicled because the New Testament is focused on the birth, life, teaching, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as the coming Messiah, who's going to and has, you know, already and not yet saved us from all those horrors. But the idea of removing everything that's not Christian from art is the stupidest idea anybody...
Okay, that was my initial reaction.
I mean, there are some dumb ideas, but that is absolutely ridiculous to do because art, good art, and if it's worth calling a classic...
Yeah.
You know, if they say we have all the classics, we've just removed all the non-Christian material out of it. Well, I mean, why would you remove any of it? It's not yours to remove.
That bugged me too.
Yeah, I mean, so you know, that is the very thing right there that I think people get the wrong idea about what Christianity is. So let me just, I'm just going to take a minute and explain. Christianity is this. Jesus Christ is the unique Son of God, and he's come. God has not abandoned his creation. He is not, we're not floating away in space far away from God. God spoke to begin all things, and God speaks to sustain all things, and God is active in history. And he broke into history, and he took the place of every sinner and lived a perfect life on their behalf and died on a cross and rose from the dead. And faith is gifted to people in that, and those who have faith in that have eternal life, okay? They will rise from the dead and live a tangible, real existence on a real, new, perfect earth forever, the way things were intended to be.
So, okay, this is kind of new for me to wrap my head around.
So you asked me, so let me ask you.
Yeah.
If that's the general, and you theologians out there, you can shoot all kinds of holes in that version of it, all right? That was just me just talking about,
yep.
You know, in response to the question. What does that have to do with removing quote-unquote immoral or quote-unquote unchristian content from someone else's art and sanitizing it and giving it away to Christians to protect them
from the truth of
what is out there in the world?
I mean, we've been doing Shakespeare with my kids, and man, that was a dirty guy.
Yeah.
And it's led to some really great conversations about depravity of man and, you know, what Christ does for us and is doing for us. And some conversations I don't think I would have had with my students if I had only chose works that didn't have anyone sinning in them.
Yeah.
Which would be absurd and hard to do.
You wouldn't be able to talk about much of the Bible.
No.
I mean, Abraham pimped out his wife. Okay.
Yeah.
To get a bunch of riches and stuff, you know.
I'm
David
ready.
Had his best friend murdered so that he could continue to commit adultery with his best friend's wife.
Right.
These are...
HBO needs to do the Old Testament.
They could do Paul. They could do the New Testament. Paul was murdering Christians before Jesus showed up to his face and said, stop doing that. You know?
Here's something
incredible about that little section. Jesus doesn't say stop doing that. Jesus, you know, Paul says, "Who are you, Lord?" You know, because mm-hmm. Jesus appears to him and knocks him off of his horse, mm-hmm. Bright light, blinds him, and says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he says, "Who are you, Lord?" I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. So what was Paul doing? Paul was murdering Christians, imprisoning Christians. Jesus says, you're persecuting me.
Yeah.
So it's a very real sense that the body of Christ, the church, is Jesus on earth. He calls us himself.
Yeah.
You know, he has called us his. We belong to him. He has confiscated us, all right? We will be in eternal life with him. And he calls his people his body on earth. And so it's a very real thing that we're talking about here. And would you sanitize that? Would you sanitize that?
Well, that's what I worry is going on sometimes.
The idea that these guys, that any of these characters in the scriptures were good other than Christ is asinine.
We need to be more like David, more like Noah, not reading
what it says, you know.
Yeah.
It's not really, if anybody's going to read what it says, it ought to be us Christians. And so I don't think there's any difference in saying I want to read what the Bible says, and I want to read what Shakespeare says, and I want to read what the classics say, and I want to watch what The Walking Dead is saying, okay? It doesn't mean I can't use my judgment and say, man, that maybe I, you know, if I'm, you know, obviously, so, you know, if I'm an alcoholic, I shouldn't probably go to a bar,
no.
right? If I'm addicted to some, you know, a pornography or something, I shouldn't probably watch movies that are going to show me things that I shouldn't see.
Right.
So it doesn't go against the common sense, but
right.
the idea of abstaining from material that's out there in the world.
Right.
I mean, that's sort of the issue and the problem with monasticism. I mean, we're not going to, the church is not called to remove itself from society.
Right.
Jesus says, Father, don't take them out of the world. You
right,
know,
right.
They're going to be in the world. Be with them in the world. So God is with us in the world and God is with us. And that's the idea of this podcast.
So I like can watch TV.
You can watch
and see
TV,
it in the biblical light.
And God is in you and yep. God is with you. And here's the thing. You're going to get lost in a story and start rooting for Tony Soprano.
Yeah.
You're going to. But what that, as a Christian, what you can, what that can remind you of is your sinful nature,
mm-hmm.
you know?
When and, you say, I'm not like Tony, well, then why are you rooting for
and
him?
And be reminded, and be reminded that Christ has paid for that sin,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So,
I wish someone would have told Tony that.
So here's the problem. So here's the biggest problem with doing what you're talking about that these people did.
Yeah.
They're not just removing the quote unquote unchristian material. They're removing any chance that you'll hear the gospel.
Yeah.
Because okay. if you don't feel convicted that you're rooting for Walter White,
right.
You can't go thank God for what Jesus has done for me.
Right.
Because right. you don't know anything about Walter White. All you know is I don't know. Veggie Tales or whatever, some more, you know, whatever the moralistic thing
yeah.
idea is that is going to make people better.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about the law. It never makes people better.
No.
It always comes back around to accusing them, no matter who they are. And so we need the bad in stories just as badly as we need the good.
Yeah.
We need to hear true art. And here's the thing about a documentary, like we're talking about The Jinx.
Yeah, yeah. Back to The Jinx.
It's not even fiction.
No.
It's a real story where you're seeing the darkness and depravity of man, and it's fascinating. And here, I think, is why it's fascinating, is because we see so much of ourselves in it.
We do.
Even in the murderer. Like, there's not one of us that I hope, you know, I can't speak for everyone, but I'm watching that and going, I find it very hard to identify with Robert Durst.
Right.
But I can identify with, what if I was on the run? Like,
yeah.
what would I, you know,
what
like,
would
what
I
would
do?
I, how would I, you know, what would I, oh, well, I'd get a lawyer. I wouldn't do this interview if I was him. Like, you know, I mean, you know,
I wouldn't leave the mic on when I go to the restroom.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, so these real life things, I mean, there's nothing great. Like, don't sanitize that. That's the truth. That's what we need to see.
Yeah.
Like, we need to see how dark man is.
Yeah.
So we can hear the gospel. So, yeah. So it's a fascinating question. I'm glad you asked it. And
yeah, I was just looking at my top five. Besides the cooking shows and whatnot, there are some just people doing evil things.
Yeah, there
yeah.
is. And here's the thing. Here's I'm gonna round out
the news,
my honor.
It's the same thing, but
that's true. It's true. But it's a lot less depressing to not watch the news and watch The Walking Dead.
Right. Right.
For some reason, you know. But on the honorable mention for our top five shows, we haven't even really cracked into our top fives yet. I had The Walking Dead.
Yep.
I had The Jinx.
Yep.
I had personally, and people, there's going to be people that laugh about this one. I liked the True Detective season 2.
Oh, you know what?
That
could be my honorable mention.
It was honorable
yeah.
mention for me.
No season 1, but
nothing on my top five.
Yeah.
For 2015 compares to season one of True Detective.
True
Detective season one is maybe...
It's in my top five of all time.
It has to be.
Yeah.
For me. It's
yeah.
it's maybe the best
oh, man.
One season of television
yeah.
I've ever seen. The acting, the writing, the story.
I couldn't stop thinking about
the
it.
The final episode,
it.
The way they closed it out. the whole thing with the seeing the stars and all. I mean,
everything about it.
I mean, it's just genius. Yeah, it's an amazing. So if you've never watched True Detective, that season one is amazing.
Season two, I enjoyed too.
Season two is a disappointment compared to season one.
But if it had come first, we would have been perfectly happy.
See, yeah, that's the thing about it. Like we've said before, so much good is on television right now that you can look at a very well done crime drama like that that you're captivated by.
We're television spoiled right now.
Well, we are. We are. And I tell you what, the I'm not a big Colin
Farrell.
I'm not a big Colin Farrell guy in general. But he won good, me man. Over yeah. on that season.
Man, and he was such a jerk.
His character was wheels off like you've
Worst
never seen.
Dad.
It was captivating.
It was.
So, that's why I made
my
honorable
mention.
And then, on my honorable mention is the final season of Mad Men. And that's another dark.
I haven't watched it yet.
Dark television show.
Some people don't see it that way. I'm like, what are you watching?
It is very dark, man. This is a guy.
It's depressing.
This is a guy who is constantly searching for something to fill a void in him, and he can't find it.
Yeah.
And I think, as you know, like that's one of those shows right there where you go, if you sanitized that show, that would be the... Well, there wouldn't be a show.
There wouldn't be a show.
But there would be no message of hope for the Christian watching the show. Like the Christian watching the show is reminded of how dark and sinful and empty that pursuit is, and how thankful that they are to have. I mean, I was constantly in watching Mad Men, reminded of my faith in Christ, and going, I want to enter
thankful.
As a character into that show and tell that, you know, tell somebody some good news because they need it so badly. Yeah. But, anyway, that rounds out my honorable mentions. I'm going to run them down to review. My honorable mentions were The Jinx, Walking Dead, True Detective, and Mad Men. And tell me yours again.
I had The School, which is a British show about a school, a documentary. Ascension, the sci-fi show with the spaceship in space. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, the Netflix comedy about a girl who was held captive by a deranged preacher for years and finally makes it out of the bunker.
I'm looking forward to watching that one.
It's weird but fun. So what else did I have? Great British Bake Off, which was my show I watched with my wife. And I had one other there I've been watching with my daughter. She's 1.5, but she loves who she calls Baka. Chewbacca.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And she's starting to love Star Wars Rebels. We watch that together. It's kind of fun.
And I've watched some of that, and I want to get into it. So your number five was...
My number five was The Walking Dead.
And my number five was Fear the Walking Dead.
Fear the Walking Dead.
Your number four is... James's number four?
Okay, it's another weird one. It's on Netflix now. The Detectorists.
Okay.
Okay, so it's a British show.
I've seen this on Netflix, but I'm not.
It's starring the guy who played his name's not Dwight, but the British version of The Office, their version of Dwight. Forgot his name. It stars him. It's him and a buddy, and they are metal detector enthusiasts, but they prefer to be called detectorists.
Okay.
So this is one of those shows where the universe isn't big, the world is not at stake. Their world is so small.
Yeah.
But high stakes.
Yeah.
I don't want to give away too much, but they are on the hunt for a particular find of like Anglo-Saxon gold or something. They think they know where it is. And there's just all the different drama that ensues around that. It's funny.
Is this like a 30-minute episode show?
No, I think they're hour episode show, and I think there's 4 or 5 episodes. Traditional British kind of short season.
Okay. Would it be considered a comedy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, dramedy maybe.
Okay.
Comedy. Right. It's very much not a dark comedy, but kind of a very dry.
Yeah.
Extremely dry.
Yeah.
I laughed a lot. My wife didn't.
You've got a British flair to your your taste this year.
Past year. That I kind of rediscovered British television, and there was some really good stuff.
Cool.
There were some fun things. So that's my number four. That's an odd one. What's your number four?
Game of Thrones.
Okay, I don't know why I didn't put that on my list.
I can't believe that's not
I can't believe I just I forgot.
Oh, top five for sure.
And great, you, great season too.
And you watched, caught up with you the watched books Game now. Of Thrones.
Yeah.
I mean, how can a geek not watch?
I know, right? We have to fast forward sometimes. But, absolutely. You know, awkward watching with, you know, the parents and whatnot. But
oh, I bet so.
But you know, I read the books. I really liked them. I listened to the books too. It was a good audiobook.
Wow.
Really good audiobook.
So you're see, I'm a TV only Game of Thrones guy,
okay.
And I have friends that have read the books, but I'm thrilled that you've actually read the books.
So there's this, and this will come into play.
You knew
when
about the Red Wedding.
Yeah, I knew about it.
Yeah.
And now when we have our canon episode where we talk about canon and the idea of canon,
yeah,
I've got this way to be able to watch and read things that are the same story but done differently, and I just accept that they're different universes, parallel universes.
So
take
you,
them as
you have
their
your own,
own
technique.
I make sure I kind of separate them in my mind, if you will, so that I don't want to argue. Well, in the book this happened or the movie this happened.
It's because you're force sensitive.
Yes, I am force sensitive.
But I'm not sure I could do that.
It's getting hard. The show is going on in its own direction now.
That's what I keep
the books,
hearing.
I think it's caught up to where the books are, and it's going to go past where the books are.
That's what I keep hearing.
So it'll be really interesting.
There was an NPR story on that, how
George R.R. Martin.
R.R. Martin.
Yeah, if you want to be a fantasy writer, put two R's in your name.
Yeah, is there only two? I thought there might be three or four. He has not finished.
Winter, whatever it is.
Winter is Coming?
Well, it's something like that. I forget what it's called.
Okay, so... this past season of Game of Thrones,
so
to me,
good.
When we finally got the ice zombies.
Yeah, finally. And that wasn't in the book.
Okay.
And that was a good decision they made to have that ice zombie
I'm telling you, that ice zombie battle and the wildlings.
Within that episode, the character arc of that female warrior.
Yeah.
Just in one episode.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Phenomenal, phenomenal season of Game of Thrones, but the moment... other than the Jon Snow moment, which I'm not sure, they may be pulling a Glenn on us. And if they are, you know, I'm okay with it because Jon Snow is got to be my favorite character.
Yeah.
Other than...
Well, the book ended the same way, so I don't know if they're really pulling a Glenn.
Okay.
Yeah, and you're missing something.
And by pulling a Glenn, we mean faking his death.
Faking a death.
Yeah.
What you're missing from the books that might help you understand what's going on there is in the books... the Mother Stark, what was her name? I forget. She's killed in the Red Wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the books, she is brought back to life by the Red Priest. But she's brought back to life in this weird zombie evil. She's like kind of just vengeance incarnate.
Wow.
Like revenge incarnate.
Wow.
So she's somehow revived.
I had not even considered.
The Red Lady is up there.
Well, the Red Lady's there, but I had not even considered him coming, like Jon Snow coming back as an ice zombie.
That could happen too, because it's possible his uncle, that is what happened to his uncle,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, because he like looked eye to eye with that big ice zombie dude with the blue eyes and everything. And it might be like Jon Snow might end up being one of the Captain Ice Zombies.
I could see that.
But I tell you what, when that ice zombie king raised his hands, they're going off in that boat and they're just off the shore and you're going, go, get out of there, dude.
Run.
Like, they're going to freeze. I was like, they're going to freeze the water and walk right out on the water after
y'all. That could have happened.
You know,
like,
that giant, how cool is that giant, you know?
Oh,
the giant walks out into the water. He's, like, taking arrows and people throwing ice zombies off of him. But that ice zombie king raises his hands and all those... killed in that battle, raised up, and
it's
now
like,
they're in his
what
army.
What did we just fight for?
You just
why did
that's
we
when
do
you go,
that?
And they didn't have to say anything.
No,
but as the viewer, you're just going, winter is coming.
Oh yeah,
there's nothing that these people like. These kingdoms of humans have no chance.
Here they are squabbling amongst themselves over petty things.
So
with a huge threat, at their gates.
Yes, massive threat.
There's something there.
So. So can those, is the idea of winter coming, can those ice zombies in, you know, from the north, can they only survive in the cold? And that's why it's such a huge threat.
I think
because
that might be part of it, yeah.
So, because the season will change and it'll be winter for a long time. And so they're like a major threat because of that.
Yeah.
I see.
I think so.
Well, it's
I'm excited where they go next.
Well, season. I mean, it's an incredible show.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I said Walking Dead's not a zombie show. I would say Game of Thrones.
It's not a magic and dragon show.
No, it's a human
and man,
struggle show. I mean,
as fantasy, it's so realistic.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at history.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's all
Game
of Thrones.
He's stealing from, yeah.
The
from
War of the Roses,
sure.
You know,
sure,
Roman
absolutely.
Empire, everything.
Yeah.
So
great show. All right.
Yeah, okay.
Number
Are we on
three.
Our number threes?
We're rolling now.
All right. What was your number three?
You're going to go to me.
Sure. You can do two in a row.
Better Call Saul.
I have not started yet.
Okay. Better
because,
Call.
Because, forgive me, I haven't finished the last season of
Breaking Bad. Okay. I think.
Could I start it without finishing Breaking Bad?
You know, there's no reason to. If you know,
okay.
Finish Breaking Bad,
okay,
and then start it because, depending on how well you can binge watch it. I mean, this next season is starting up. The second season of Better Call Saul is starting up here pretty soon.
Okay.
I think February. By the time, actually, probably going by the time this podcast,
okay,
is going to air, and. Boy, season one was really good. Really good. I would say if you like Breaking Bad, you'll love Better Call Saul. Because
okay.
It's the same writers.
Yeah.
It's
same universe.
and yeah, they're just built they're going back and prequeling Saul.
Important question. Is there El Pollo Hermano in it?
Not yet.
Okay, because I love that chicken. It's so
good. Yeah. So great show. I highly recommend it. It doesn't go at all where you think it would.
Yeah.
And you really love that character. You
okay.
really love that character deeply by the end of it. So you tell me your number
okay,
three.
Okay, number three, The Man in the High Castle. Have you heard of this show?
No, I have not.
Okay, it's a...
Wait a minute, I have. It's on Amazon.
Amazon.
And it's the Nazi... You tell
imagine,
me the premise.
Imagine if the Nazis won. The Nazis and the Japanese.
I was so
imagine
hoping that
they
would be
got,
good, and it's good?
It's good. It's good. And I read the book years ago, and I don't think it's exactly like the book. I don't remember everything from the book. But it's a Philip K. Dick story that they've kind of run with and created a serialized TV show out of. So imagine if the Nazis had developed the atomic bomb first... you know, how would things have played out? And, you know, it's years in the future. It's the 1960s or so. And the Japanese control Western United States. The Nazis control the Eastern United States. And they call it the Greater Reich. And then kind of the Rocky Mountains are a neutral zone where they've signed some type of armistice with the remaining American rebels, if you will. And there's some mystery to what's going on. There's some... I want to say fantastical things going on, stuff that you kind of figure like that doesn't seem possible, and so it definitely is a science fiction show too.
Yeah.
It's not just an alternative history; it's sci-fi.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. It's
yeah.
really good.
Cool.
They released the pilot, I think, last year sometime, and then people liked it, so they developed the whole show, and it really kind of worked out.
I see. Yeah. So that's going to be
that's a must see. Yeah.
Definitely.
It's a good one.
Okay. So tell me your number two was The Jinx.
Was The Jinx.
So here's what's
that,
great.
Yeah.
Here's what's great about ours matching up.
Your number two.
My number two is Making a Murderer.
Okay. And I just started that yesterday.
Making a Murderer on Netflix.
And then on NBC, they ruined the next few episodes for me on
Did
the
they?
News tonight. Yeah. They kind of said what
Spoiled
happened
it?
Next. But I think that happens immediately in
I'll tell
episode
you what,
two.
Man,
so.
This is what I'll say about it. This documentary series on Netflix is about a man named Stephen Avery. Stephen Avery was
kind of a likable guy, even in some ways.
Stephen Avery was wrongfully convicted of
rape.
A sexual assault
yeah.
in Wisconsin and imprisoned for 18 years until he was exonerated by DNA evidence.
Yeah. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, it was not him.
And the show takes it from there because then, so then he, you know.
That's just the first episode.
He's yeah, that's the first episode, and he is going to sue the county because
mm-hmm.
there's ample evidence that they didn't
Set
investigate the crime.
Yeah.
They just went after him
yeah.
and pinned it on him while this other guy that actually did it was still out there raping people.
He was able to rape more people because they didn't put him away.
And
that's the
And they put Stephen Avery in prison for 18 years for not doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
And so he sues him And he's arrested for murder during the process of suing them and under incredibly suspicious circumstances of, again, the, like, it, let's just put it this way. You've got to watch the show.
Okay, I got to finish it.
It is the, it is, I will say this. This is why it's number two on my list for this year. It's the best documentary series I've ever seen.
Okay.
The access that they have, they don't have, there's nothing that they don't have on video.
Wow.
I mean, they have everything on video, everything on audio. They're talking to him in prison. They're talking to, they talk to the people that you think are getting away with murder. I mean, they talk to everyone.
Yeah.
And it's just a phenomenal, phenomenal show. So, Making a Murder on Netflix.
Okay.
And that's going to bring us to our number one.
Number one.
And we're going to give you our number one on the next episode of the God Geeks podcast.
Follow us, of course, on God Geeks.